Broadcasting live from an Airstream somewhere in Tornado Alley, bringing you the people, places, and stories from the Panhandle to the Red River. This is your Only in Oklahoma show.
And welcome back to the show. Today we're cozying up to the Community Cafe in Paul's Valley, and later on the show, Will Rogers Airport is expanding again. I'm Brett.
And I am Harley.
Back again. Another trip around the sun, it feels like. I haven't seen you since our solar eclipse. It's been crazy. Things are crazy. I'm glad to be back. You did a great job on your last episode.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did get some feedback on the episode that I did, so always happy to see that.
And I'm sure it probably has to do with her name being Amber, but that's great.
Speaking of Amber.
Yeah.
She found the place that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So.
Wait a second. Are we just glazing over the fact that you did an episode by yourself? How was it? How do you think you did? How would you rate yourself?
I gave myself a rock solid 6.
Out of 7?
132.
All right. Cozy Cafe. Let's hear about it.
No. We're not there yet.
Oh, I said Cozy Cafe. Go ahead.
On the eclipse day.
Yeah. You did a thing.
I did a thing.
You saw the eclipse.
I saw the eclipse, and I got engaged.
Oh!
That was the whole reason for seeing the eclipse. But Amber had no idea, so we're headed to southeast Oklahoma to get a good view of the eclipse. And we were cruising through Paul's Valley at about breakfast time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Amber, we need food.
Yeah.
And she did her Google food. Dude,
she's
telling you.
She's good at it. She's a sleuth.
She is the show picker.
Yes. She is.
So she found Community Cafe in Paul's Valley.
Never heard of it.
Me either. I plugged it into Waze, headed that way. She starts nodding off. Dude, I get into Paul's Valley, and it's like, continue this way.
Okay.
So I'm cruising along, and I'm like, okay, this seems to be the end of Paul's Valley.
Yeah. Now, did you hang a right, or turn a right at Seth Wadley, or what?
Nope. It's okay. On Highway 19.
Okay.
So, coming through Maysville into Paul's Valley,
uh-huh.
Just buzz right through Paul's Valley in ways that's like, keep on going.
Oh, you took the scenic route.
No, I didn't scenic route.
Oh, okay.
It's like past the State Highway 19 East Bridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're into farm country.
Yeah, this is not no man's land, but you're out, you wouldn't expect to find anything.
So I'm coming up over the hill, and I was like, I was about to give up. Like, okay, well, obviously there's nothing here. Like I'm literally driving past pasture land.
Right.
Like, there's nothing out here.
It's because you're not supposed to find it.
So I come up over the ridge, and sure enough, there is a little building tucked up on the side with what appears to be an antique store next to it. And the parking lot was full.
Really?
And I was like, no way!
Seriously?
For real. So we pull up, and sure enough, everybody's there having breakfast, dude. There can't be that many people that live that close.
To the Community Cafe?
To Community Cafe. Like, you've got to be to have as many people as they had in that building. The majority of people had to come for further than 5 miles away.
It's called Community Cafe. They didn't say which one. Right?
So, did a little bit of research. Apparently, the owners wanted a place where everybody could come out and feel like they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a great job.
Unless you're not from there.
I feel like... So, when we walked in...
The jukebox went...
No. But it was obvious that everybody knew that we weren't regulars.
Right.
Like, nobody gave us the stink eye or none of that business.
Mm-hmm.
But instantaneously, everybody was like, they're not from here.
Right. And they're probably all sitting in the same seat they sit in every day.
I promise you there are a bunch of guys that go there and drink a couple of pots of coffee a day.
Mm.
Like, that's their place.
That's my jam, though. That's what happened to me at Tasty Burger in Choctaw. I walk in, and the record player skipped, and they're like, who's there? And then once they got, their food, they quit looking at me. But, yeah, those are the best places, man. I mean, I want to go. I'm like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I want to go where the people are. You know what I mean? I want to eat your pancakes and sausage. But yeah.
So right off the bat, you know, get past the fact that everybody noticed that I'm not from their zip code. And yeah. Again, I didn't get any bad looks or anything like that. I just got the recognition that we were not local. Like, oh, you must be lost.
Right.
And that's fine. But the restaurant itself,
yeah,
really eclectic. They have all of the things that you expect on a small in a small country restaurant, like the saddle hanging on the wall and the, you know, the pictures of, you know, when Bill Clinton came in or what, all that stuff. But it's not overly done, and it wasn't fake. It's not like they went out to
Hobby Lobby and got a bunch of stuff. That
yeah,
looked
all the
country
fake signs.
Yeah, I hate like, that. I hate it.
You can tell it's been added over time, mm-hmm. and it's because it's part of the community, and it all fits. And it's, dude, the table we sat at was one of the round tables, four seats around it. The tabletop is all pennies.
Oh, really?
That somebody lacquered over. Just a neat little added touch.
Yeah. I like creative, you know, kind of going back to what you're saying about being out of place or feeling, you know, you can tell, they can tell when you're not from here. We've been to restaurants where they've kindly said, you probably shouldn't stay past dark.
We have been to that
we
place.
We have been to those.
But right off the bat, so we get there, and I've been driving for a minute, drinking coffee.
So you're wired. You're wired for sound.
I've got a bladder that is screaming at me.
Right.
So first thing I do, take my seat. Per my instructions, and the waitress comes over. She's real friendly, gets our drink orders, and I run off to the restroom. Damn cleanest restaurant, a restroom that I have seen. I don't know the last time I saw a restroom this clean.
Right.
And again, it fit the same theme. So somebody's going in there with wood polish and
lacquer and...
Dude, this is not an easy bathroom to clean.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not, you know, the subway tile from floor to ceiling. Where you can just walk in with a hot, you know, with a water hose and hose the place out. Somebody had to spend some time cleaning this restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we got there, you know, right before open or something.
Right.
Like, they've been open for a few hours already.
Well, yeah, you're in the heat of the battle right now.
Right.
At that point.
But clean bathroom, you know, right off the bat, a plus in the win. That's a mark in the win column for me.
Listen, I recently went to one of my favorite restaurants I've been going to for the better part of 25 or 30 years since I was a pool hall rat back in the day. And I went there the last time, and without fail, it's not the neatest, nicest place, but they were wrecked. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ever... I like this place, but I don't know if I can ever come back here again. It's a bathroom for me.
Yeah.
If the bathroom's not clean...
It just gives you the heebs.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not somebody that... I have small kids. We've had small kids. We're used to probably eating food with doo-doo on our fingernails and not realizing it until we take that first bite and not doing anything about it. That's the kind of guy I am these days. All right? Man. Oh, well, I'll eat with my left hand. What do you say? But yeah, if the bathroom's not clean, I'm usually not picky. Like... If the kitchen, my motto is usually, if the kitchen's clean, I can't trust the food's any good. Because we know some restaurants where you're like, as long as you don't look at the floor by the grill, you're good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear
But
you.
You're right. The mark of a in a place that's as busy as it sounds like it was, a bathroom would be easy to, the easy thing to gloss over and not take care of.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean... This is definitely an attention to detail kind of situation, but kind of shifting gears to the staff.
Yeah.
Instantaneously, like within 30 seconds of walking into this place, I knew that this is a family run business. Like everybody working there is somebody's cousin, nephew, niece, brother, son, husband, wife, like just too smooth.
Yep.
And
I like that too. Like that makes the vetting process of hiring decent people. Like if your cousin's not worth the shit, he's not working here. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Drunk uncle is a dishwasher. That's all you're going to do, Steve. You know what I mean? There's more accountability. You don't always get that lucky. You know, Luigi's, that's another example of a well-oiled machine and it's 6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows each other. So I'm all for you. So far, you've got my money, and I haven't even got to the menu yet.
So before we get to the menu, I do want to talk about the food.
Okay. I got no problems.
I really think that when it comes to the food, it's not that they're reinventing the wheel or right. anything like that. I really think they just kind of said, how would grandma cook this?
Yeah.
You know, like the older, you know, like style, kind of country feel.
Yeah, right.
Everything's
not,
like that.
Not pretty. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't even say not pretty. I just think taste is more important than appearance.
Right. Yeah, so, I don't need it plated. I'm going to tear it to shreds. I don't need it plated perfectly.
You know, if you're ordering a biscuit, if your biscuit comes out looking like AI was involved.
Not AI again.
Right. You're probably going to, you're not going to be super stoked about what it tastes like.
I need an ugly biscuit.
Exactly.
I need an ugly biscuit that's slightly right on the fringe of being almost a little too, just a little crisp on the edge. But go ahead.
So before we get into what I had, I do want to point out they do scratch rolls. They do scratch cinnamon rolls.
Stop.
They serve sweet tea and mason jars.
You're basically, I do want to mention something. You told me the other day that you went to Community Cafe in Paul's Valley, and you told me that you tore it up. We go out to eat tonight. I don't know if Community Cafe is what sent you over the edge or what put you back on the wagon, but tonight it was bunless burgers
and
breadless fried chicken. What happened?
I think it boils down to...
This job's hard to... It's hard to be healthy and do this job.
It's hard to be healthy and do this job, but really, I think after the proposal, I think Amber wants to have pretty wedding photos at some point in time.
I'm with you. And
so
I understand.
Having a giant beached whale as a husband...
On the beach.
Yeah, is probably not the best thing, so yeah.
Okay, I get it. You're trying to get...
I heard the whip crack immediately.
You're trying to get that beach boy body, not that beach ball body. I got you. All right.
From what I understand, I did not have it, but from what I understand, some of the best chicken fried steak around.
Stop it. I don't like that.
And I will say, their dessert menu is not a dessert menu.
Don't say legit.
No, it's not legit. It is it's a blackboard with a list of things that they have.
And list that they don't.
That slowly goes away.
I like that.
But starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, dude, every kind of pie you could imagine.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. Every kind of pie you could possibly think of. So as far as the menu goes, they really only have a breakfast menu.
As far as the menu goes, they only have a pie menu.
No, like the printed menu, the only thing they have is a breakfast
menu.
Perfect.
I don't need anything else.
But they're open until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't need anything else besides breakfast until 4.
But they do serve other things. So
pie.
Yes, they do. But they actually have other things as well. But I was there for breakfast.
Yeah.
I got a breakfast burrito. You can sue me if you want.
No, no, no.
I was in the mood for a breakfast burrito.
Sometimes a breakfast burrito is where you go. You go with something that's not traditional.
But I also got a biscuits and gravy because I'm there and I'm like, if I don't try a biscuit and gravy, then Brett is going to call me a poser and tell me I can't do a show anymore.
Listen, and here's the thing. Talk about AI. If you go into a community cafe in Paul's Valley and don't get at least a staple, I'd have been with you and you said, can I get that without bread? I would murder you.
So can we please, for the love of God, talk about the biscuit that came with my biscuit and gravy? For starters, dude, I would have ate the gravy with a spoon. If they would have just brought me a bowl of gravy and said, this is all they have today.
Now, listen, I'm going to say something. I love you. We've been in a domestic partnership for the better part of over a decade. Now, wait. I know you're waiting to say something. Man, you've led me down the primrose path on a biscuit and gravy run.
Oh, my God.
With another town that begins with a P.
Dude, for starters, there were chunks of sausage in this gravy as big as my thumb.
Let me see your thumb. Like, which part of the thumb are we
like
talking
the
about?
The whole thing.
Okay.
So, the gravy was great.
Good gravy or great gravy?
I would call it great gravy.
Okay.
I would say that grandma made that gravy. I'm just saying, but the biscuit. So I get the biscuit and I see it coming from the kitchen. Like I see the bottom of it.
You see you can see the bottom of it?
On the plate. You know, like you could see.
Oh, just the, okay. Yeah, got you.
From the profile because the gravy came separately from the biscuit. I see it coming from the kitchen. I'm like, like they're going to serve me a burnt biscuit. So I get it and she sets it down and I'm like, thank you, ma'am. And she goes off. And I take a bite of the top of the biscuit. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's what I was going to go with. My first line of questioning was, what? And I think it comes down to what we do now. We can't eat food like normal people. In order to eat food like normal people, we have to go do what normies do and get Taco Maya.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. When I eat a biscuit and gravy, I go, I take a bite of biscuit.
And then a bite of the... Yeah, no, the bite of the gravy, and then you put them together.
Right.
Whole thing. Yes, I agree with you, but we're just on biscuit right now.
I know.
Let me just be on biscuit right now.
I know, but like I said, you've...
For the love of God,
you've lied to me before.
Let me tell you about this biscuit.
Okay.
So, I was like, oh man, that biscuit's really good. You know, like they probably left it in the oven too long or whatever. Uh-huh. So, I get the piece,
mm-hmm.
and I go to dip it in the gravy. And I got a piece of the bottom along with a piece of the top. I grabbed a corner.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And I dipped it in the gravy and I was like, oh, it's not burnt. And so I flipped the biscuit over and I take a piece of the biscuit and it's a little tough. And I was like, maybe just a little overcooked. It's just browner than it should be.
Most annoying people to eat with.
Oh, for 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
So I take this piece of biscuit and it's not burnt. It's like caramelized.
Oh,
like they cooked it in butter, and it just kind of took on that golden brown took it a little bit towards the caramel end of the spectrum. Oh my God.
Really?
Dude, for real, knocked my socks off.
Man, I'll tell you, I'll give you my assessment at the end, because I'm going to be swinging through Paul's Valley Way probably, literally a month from today. So...
You're going to give a review of the review?
Review.
That's fine. So Amber got an omelet.
Okay. Safe.
I agree, but Amber does safe.
Yeah, I know. She does safe. I can't fault her for that. I've known her for almost 10 years.
But she got a ham and cheese omelet with bell pepper and onion.
Uh-huh.
Dude, legit. Like, that was somebody's cutting that ham in the kitchen.
Right.
That didn't come out of a machine. It, you know, like, the whole nine. The cheese was actual cheese, and it was they sauteed the onions and peppers and ham before they put it in the omelet. Dude, it was perfect.
The thing about an omelet, it's all about the, because most omelets are three egg, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the ratio of, I always call them innards. Is it just enough? I need a bite of, if I've got a ham and egg and cheese and veggie, I need a bite of all that every time I cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of times you'll get an omelet and it's almost like a burrito where you cut the end of the omelet off and there's next to nothing inside that end of the egg.
Or they didn't lay it out lengthwise.
Yeah,
they didn't
exactly.
lay it out the ingredients lengthwise. So
yeah,
you get a ham piece and a bell pepper piece and an onion
piece. Or it's
piece.
All bunched up in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. Did a bang up job. As I said, they only have a breakfast menu.
Uh-huh.
They do a special of the day that starts up at lunch, and they're all over the place. Dude, they do catfish days, like catfish and coleslaw. They do lasagna days. They do chicken and dumpling days.
The problem is I can get breakfast until 4.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm hard-pressed, man.
Dude, but, again, they're not playing around.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where... Community cafe. They have their favorites, the people like, you know, like this particular thing. And so they do that thing.
And do it well, apparently.
Yeah. But no complaints. Love the place. They were great hosts. And I really felt welcomed by the staff. Like, I felt like, I was expected to be back the next day.
And if you're out there listening, which I hope that you are, Community Cafe, the guy that everybody stared at last week. It's this guy right here.
But right there on Highway 19, right outside of Paul's... it's in Paul's Valley, but Highway 19 on the... What is that? On the west side of Paul's Valley.
I know. You had me at biscuits and gravy. Then you had them saying, best chicken fry around. I got to go. That's it. It's a done deal. I will see you Community Cafe May the 17th as I'm passing through headed southbound. Well, coming up,
I'll include a link in the show notes for their website. They are open 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday and closed on Sundays.
Well, coming up next, if you don't like Will Rogers Airport, just wait a minute.
That's pretty good.
I'm Raven Rollins, and this is my Southern True Crime Podcast, where I discuss cases from my former hometown. Ada, Oklahoma paints itself as an average community, but its history of murder and corruption runs deeper than any story has ever told. You'll hear plenty of special guests, including authors and experts in their fields, who visit with me on each episode, as well as other cases in the southern states. With notorious and unknown cases alike, every victim sees the light on my show. This is Sirens, a true crime podcast.
News story from KOKH, Will Rogers World Airport expanding with new hangar and flight options.
Okay, flight options. What? Rocket ships? I don't know what options can you offer me?
More flights.
More flights?
Yes.
Can we just crowd the airwaves? Can we do either of those things?
The Department of Aerospace and Aeronautics hosted a groundbreaking just a few days ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're putting in an 82,000 square foot project. It is going to bring hundreds of jobs to Oklahoma City for the maintenance, repair, and overhaul operation at the AAR Corporation in the Will Rogers.
You know, I work at the FAA, and I'm not far from their... They have a kind of a smaller runway that's west of Will Rogers. In fact, that's where they used to have for years and years and years the air shows that were out there. But anyway, a lot of times we'll be walking, you'll see Southwest Airlines. Man, it looks like they're almost coming in sideways flying over. They need more room.
Well,
clearly,
our buddy Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell said it's important to expand the WRWA and offer more options and direct flights to help make Oklahoma City a top city in the U.S. I didn't mention this to you.
Okay.
I saw Matt Pinnell at the robotics competition.
And?
The first robotics competition. I was going to say hi to him. Dude, he's fast. So he came in, gave the opening address. His kid was participating in the event, but he came in, gave the address. He walked out. I was walking over to him, and he made a beeline out the door, was in his car and gone in about 7 seconds. And then I saw him again like 3 or 4 hours later. He comes back because his kid's competing. He comes back, makes his way into the crowd, does the handshaking rounds around the whole building, and then he was gone again.
The dude's fast. He's busy.
I do not know how he does all the stuff that he does.
Lieutenant Matt, he's got magic legs. That's how he does it. He's got magic legs.
He must, I'm telling you.
The dude is, I've said it before, somebody needs to coin this. He is the Ryan Seacrest of the Oklahoma Department of Travel and Tourism.
He does a great job.
He does a fantastic job.
So as far as the other stuff coming to Will Rogers World Airport, Allegiant Travel is said they're kicking off their seasonal service, offering nonstop service from Oklahoma City to Destin.
Oh.
It's part of the airline's latest seasonal expansion in 16 cities across the country. So again, they're looking at having this flight be 5 times a week.
Have you ever been to Destin, Florida?
I've had to have come into that airport before.
I've heard nothing but great. People are like, I go to Destin. And now I can go 5 days a week to Destin, Florida?
I just think there's probably enough demand.
Yeah, probably.
Especially since people are actually starting to travel again.
Mm-hmm. I think it's taken some time, but I think a lot of people are finally getting back in the swing of hitting the road and hitting getting on a plane and going somewhere.
Well, I'm just hoping that an equivalent number of people from Florida are coming to Oklahoma to see the sights here that are going to Florida to see the sights there.
Yeah. Migration can go both ways, guys. There's a lot of cool stuff here. Malaysia, come on. Come see us.
It's Mongolia. I don't know if we're still number one in Mongolia.
I don't know either.
I feel like there's got to be like a bootleg, a Mongolian bootleg version of us, like you and I.
Yeah. We're more popular. Oh, okay. I feel like we're more popular than Genghis Khan ever was.
Yeah, I think.
No one's ever died listening as a result of listening to this show.
No, I agree.
Unless they were trying to fast forward to the end and they weren't looking at the road.
We don't make it nearly as many enemies as Genghis Khan did either. So no, I think if Genghis Khan had a podcast, it wouldn't be nearly as popular as ours.
Well, I think if we talked about more about crater lakes and devil babies, we'd have people hating us. I think for the most part, people either like us or they just don't acknowledge us.
Well, as far as people acknowledging us, we do have some feedback. Our boy JW Racing 77
right
commented on our last episode, the first robotics competition in Oklahoma City episode, and said, and I quote, "Oklahoma in the house." Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that you're going to find a way to add this to the pegboard of your conspiracy theory with JW Racing 77.
Well, we've narrowed it down. We know that he's lived in Broken
Arrow. Yes.
And now we know he's from Oklahoma.
And you think he races something.
He races something. When I was in high school, I wasn't allowed to have a motorcycle, okay? But I would go with my buddies, and we'd go to the motorcycle shops, and I always wanted a shirt. And one of them was, I'm almost 100% sure it was JW Racing or Cycles or something.
I feel like you're just making stuff
up. No, I'm not.
I'm going to do an image search right now.
For JW Racing. Okay, do it.
77, go. Images. JW Racing.
Is there a motorcycle parts?
Nope. I see a Nova. Oh,
it was JP Racing. Never mind.
A Nova. JWRacing.com.au has a Nova.
Okay.
There's a Pinterest page. I'm looking to see a lot of cars with the number 77 on them. I don't think this is going to help us narrow it down.
No. We're going to have to dig a little deeper. We're going to have to use AI.
We might have to use AI. Or we could just call our buddies in Mongolia and have everybody check.
I do not know who JW Racing is. Father?
This one, I said there was a Pinterest.
Okay.
It's a false positive. It's JWR Racing 77. Completely different than JW Racing 77.
Yeah, I don't think you'd throw the trail off. If you're going to have it, you know, I've got the same passwords on multiple platforms. I'm not going to change anything up to be different. It'd be too hard to remember. We'll find you.
So Brett's still on a mission to
we will find you. We have a
find out the real identity of JW Racing 77.
We have a very specific set of skills.
We don't.
One that we've honed over 15 years of podcast.
Our very specific set of skills is disassembling a biscuit and gravy.
True.
To make
and being the most annoying. Like, are they okay over there? I believe he's cut the biscuit into fifths. Lengthwise. Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking at the biscuit with a magnifying glass.
That's the thing. The only way I could eat a biscuit and gravy slow is I have to take multiple pictures of it, and then I've got to make sure there's nothing else in the way, and then I'm the most annoying person to eat food with.
Well, if you have any feedback about how annoying Brett is to watch eat, or if you have any clues that will help Brett find the identity of the person behind JW Racing 77, shoot us over an email.
Yeah.
onlyanokshow@gmail.com comes right to us.
/ biscuit and gravy.
AOL keyword, biscuits and gravy.
Well, this has been the Only an OK Show. New episodes every week. Find out why we're the best damn podcast out there. I'm Brett.
And I'm Harley, and we're out of here.
Peace. Well, this has been the Only an OK Show, the home of the biscuit and gravy. Just kidding, we're not the home of the biscuit and gravy. We are the home of the best damn podcast about Oklahoma in the state, and you're fixing to find out why. Just stand by. This has been Brett.
This has been Brett.
This has been Brett.
Are you new?
I'm new. This is Brett. I'm Brett.
You're such a son of a gun.
AI's not anywhere near close to perfect. Yeah, it's on.
Okay, cool. Videos?
I don't know that it's video. I think it's audio.
AI revives George Carlin.
Yeah, check this out.
5 minutes, 41 seconds?
Yeah, just get some. I just want you to hear it.
This media is brought to you by Polyscope.
AI revives George Carlin.
Plus AI schools education. Good morning, I'm Cassie Bishop.
And I'm Ray Turing. This is AI Daily for Thursday, January 11th, 2024.
Breaking news in AI, curated by humans. Here are your top stories.
Comedian George Carlin, revived through
a news story. Dude, for the love of God, can we please stop with the AI bullshit?
Like, there's no way. If I was a creative and I wasn't trying to figure out a way to tap into AI, I'd be scared of it. Really.
I just don't think it's very good.
Well, I think in 10 years from now, we're going to be thinking it's too good. You don't think so?
Legendary stand-up George Carlin, though, is back with a new special. And in true form, he's got a lot to say about the state of the world today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to start off with a heartfelt apology. I'm sorry it took me so long to come out with new material, but I do have a pretty good excuse. I was dead. AI resurrected stand-up comedians are going to be the news anchors of the next decade,
oh
which,
God, dude,
now that I think of it, means news anchors are probably out of a job, too.
Nervous laughter. Yes, his new special, Touch a Gun AI.
No. Dude, he almost sounded like George. Like,
well, he sounded like a young Carlin.
He sounded like Donald Trump.
Either way, they're out there, they're tweaking. Like I said, I think AI is probably going to be more useful in creation, not innovation. Does that make sense? No.
I think the best you're going to get out of AI for a long time is generic ripoffs of really specific people, because there are a lot of, again, it's just skip logic. There are certain people that it's easy, if you have a sample of their voice, like you have a good enough sample of their voice, for you to recreate their voice. There are some people that it's super easy. Joe Rogan is one of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of AI Joe Rogan running around.
There are, but...
Well, and the thing about it is I think before AI was really even part of a real conversation, and it's only been within the last 2 years... that they announced that Bruce Willis was lending his catalog to donate his voice for future projects that may or may not include him physically.
Yeah.
And that was a thing then, but now we're talking about not just taking, you know, Die Hard 1 through 3 and everything else. Go ahead.
I just found a Donald Trump, Joe Biden interview AI voice.
Let's hear it.
How are you doing there, Joe? Come on, wake up, sleepy Joe.
Wait a sec. Who are you? Do I know you?
Yeah.
Are you James? Wait for me a second.
Oh, God, don't start.
My medicine hasn't kicked in yet.
That's not a surprise.
Hey, I thought you were a nice guy, Danny.
I'm Danny.
Is it Tommy?
Wrong.
Question. So in the room, I have my TV set up with Roku. The Roku works just fine, but I can't get the Nintendo Switch to show up on the TV screen.
Input?
It's the problem is it's bad. It's bad theater, but it's creepy.
It is creepy, but I think that's like the what do they call that? The words valley in it.
I don't know.
I want to say unseely valley, but that's not it. Uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley. Yeah, it's just accurate enough to go, okay, I can hear, and it's off just a little bit. You're like, it's just creepy to me, man. I mean, I don't know. I think people are worried that there are people that aren't aware that AI is really even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are afraid that the machines are going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people in the middle that are worried about losing a job.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to be as blunt as I can. If AI can do your job's not very hard or important.
Right. I tell people, especially young guys, because I work with a lot of young guys. I'm like, dude, and we've talked about it. Get a job where it's really hard for a robot to replace you. You know what I mean?
I just did the show the other day about
robotics.
The robotics.
Yeah.
competition. I think if you want to be ahead of the pack when it comes to technology and innovation, you need to be involved in technology and innovation.
Yeah, you do.
And
I think a hammer and a nail is always going to be something you'll need. But I think you're right. I mean, if you're not plugged into what's plugged in, you're obsolete.
I don't think so. I think there are certain things. You know, one of the things that a lot of people point to is law.
Okay. Yeah.
A computer can say.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that a while back about.
But it's all written down.
Yeah.
Here are all the rules.
Yeah.
And the robot just goes, this applies, this doesn't apply, this applies. And yeah, if you're a lawyer and your job is to basically go and find case precedent, and you're probably going to lose your job.
Yeah.
But if you're a lawyer and you're standing in front of a judge and you got to be quick on your feet and know shit really well, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be that. It's going to be the guys who don't really do anything already.
Yeah.
The people who are doing a job that, you know, they clock in and they're basically trying to look busy for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Because they really have 17 minutes of work that they need to do.
I work with people just like that.
So again, I don't think 90% of people need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the guy who clocks in and you spend 7 hours and 33 minutes trying to make that 17 minutes of work look like work, you might want to start looking at.
Well, and again, I don't know what the timeline is from the time somebody said AI and they weren't referring to the Spielberg movie that came out 20 years ago. But it seems like it was a year ago we were talking about ChatGPT being a thing, and now all of a sudden nobody talks so much about ChatGPT as the premier AI. Now it's AI's doing this, and we're resurrecting comedians, and we're writing scripts.
As far as ChatGPT goes, though, you know, everybody over the last 3 years has been saying AI, machine learning.
Well, yeah.
I work in the industry.
Right.
You know what people are saying now? They're still saying AI, machine learning, but now they're saying quantum computing. Dude, it's a fad. They made some minor upgrades over the past few years and got people excited and told them, if you're not doing this, then, you know, you're going to be left behind.
Right.
And now they're doing the same thing.
Well, and it's the modernized, mechanized version of outsourcing. Remember, that was the thing. Everybody was worried about losing their job to another country.
Right.
And there were times where that was a thing. You know, we've lost major industries here in the state of Oklahoma to outsourcing because it's cheaper elsewhere.
Right.
But how much cheaper is it? And I'm not, you know, I would never suggest that you could be replaced by Johnny Five. But if you've got a $1 billion company, what's your overhead if you're literally inputting into the mainframe instead of having to worry about medical insurance and things? You know what I mean? Does that even?
Companies are always going to look for the path of least resistance,
right?
The path to the most money for the least inputs.
Cost benefit analysis, though.
And for a while there was a big push for, you know, all of the telephone customer care, customer support going to, you know, the Philippines or India.
Yeah.
And what a lot of smart companies figured out is everybody hates this.
Yeah.
So if you can find a way to avoid it.
Yeah. Consumers hate it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't mean anything by this, but there's a lot of things that are kind of, there's a communication barrier, not necessarily lost. We're both speaking English. But there are words that I can't say that don't have the same.
Well, there's a communication
barrier. There is a communication
barrier. I'm sorry, but, you know, if your accent is so thick that.
That I can't understand you, then there's no way you can understand me.
That you have to repeat yourself 3 or 4 times for you to get your point across and then vice versa.
Yeah.
That is a total waste of time.
Yep, it is.
And if it takes, and that's where a lot of this has kind of come out in the wash. If you take a person and you pay them 25% of what you would pay an equivalent person in the United States to do that job, fine. But if it takes them 4 times as long to do it,
Yeah.
Then you didn't save anything.
Right. Yeah.
So, again, I think, yes, I think it's important to stay, you know.
Is it a wave? Is it the wave of the future? Or is it a phase that's just going to always kind of continually be here?
I think a lot of what you hear in the news is the...
Is hype?
It's the marketing.
Yeah.
Really, I'm being serious. If you want to be impressed with robotics, go to one of those robotics competitions. These high school kids leaps and bounds ahead of other kids in similar programs without the mentoring and stuff that goes into the robotics piece.
Uh-huh.
Leaps and bounds ahead of those kids. They have great problem-solving skills. They're smart.
Yeah.
They can communicate. Those are things that you need to have.
Listen, do one more thing and we'll get started. Look up AI robot cleans kitchen.
OpenAI speech reasoning, a robot standing in the kitchen.
Yep.
2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yep. No, let it play first. Go.
They say neural network.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, we're not to the Terminator phase yet.
That's what I was going to say.
Hey, figure one, what do you see right now?
I see a red apple on a plate in the center of the table, a drying rack with cups and a plate, and you standing nearby with your hand on the table.
Great. Can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
Great. Can you explain why you did what you just did while you pick up this trash?
On it. So I gave you the apple because it's the only edible item I could provide you with from the table.
Great. So based on the scene right now, where do you think the dishes in front of you go next?
The dishes on the table, like that plate and cup, are likely to go into the drying rack next.
Great. Can you put them there?
I don't care who you are. It's cool. I don't give a shit.
It is cool, but it's not...
Is it not intuitive enough for you?
All right. So how do you think you did?
I think I did pretty well. Yeah.
So one of the things that they're doing...
Okay.
To make this look better.
Okay.
They gave the robot a minor speech impediment. I think what I did was, those are prompts. It didn't actually think that.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a response in such a way to make you think that it's responding.
That it's thinking.
Right, that it's thinking, when in fact it is not thinking. It's going through a list of options. It's a big list, but I promise you, if you put, you know, a dragon fruit and a slab of liver in front of that thing, it's not going to say an apple and a glass.
What?
It's going to say, you know, it's going to call the dragon fruit a lizard.
Right.
And it's going to think that that liver is a stain on the plate. It doesn't understand. It's just going through the options that it has available, comparing it to pictures, comparing it to other...
So it's bad. Are you saying that the optics on the AI, what they're trying to, it's not as good. To somebody that doesn't maybe know what they're looking at, you might be, but you can see the seams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be like that for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a point where we're worried about a T2 Judgment Day situation.
I think if you're thinking robotics and, you know, like Terminators, what I would be worried about is a simple machine that has the ability to reproduce itself.
Yeah.
Is some scary shit.
That's scary, man.
Like, if you have a guard dog robot that only knows
how to shit guard dogs,
I attack anybody that comes into this area that's not wearing a blue shirt. But you also gave it the ability to make additional versions of itself.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's a lot scarier.
But I don't think you're going to run into...
Because how would you even... That's another thing, too.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who would be in control of it? Who would code a... It would just be a... Wouldn't the dog have to have the ability to form its own thoughts? Or would it be coded to do certain things? Could it eventually take over itself?
No, I don't... I honestly don't think we're there. We don't have the ability. Nobody has created a machine that has the ability to do anything outside of its programming.
Right.
You can make it look like it does.
Yeah.
Or you can give it so many options that it gets confused.
Right. There's a robot. I'm not trying to get... But it does a little obstacle course. Have you seen it? And can do a backflip. Dude, look it up.
And, dude, I literally set at...
I know what you're saying.
And they had them doing things automatically.
Give me a second.
Exactly what you're talking about.
If you can show me what you're talking about.
It had to run an obstacle course and do things on its own? Yes.
Look up Atlas Partners in Parkour.
Okay.
That's it.
Please?
Please.
Because it's 11:38.
It
Atlas
is?
Atlas what? 8:38.
Atlas Partners Parkour.
Yeah, the Boston Dynamics thing. Seen it before.
That's pretty cool.
It is, but literally there are teenage kids out there making basically the same concept.
Okay, Uncle, I'm sorry.
And Boston Dynamics has been working with that same damn robot for the last 25 years. I remember that thing being on the cover of Discover Magazine in 1982. Or like
it might have been Omni Magazine. Remember Omni Magazine?
Yes.
All right.
Do you have the
show
notes?
3, 2, 1.